right into chapter 4. This is the fifth vision. Comes after Zechariah had a little rest. Let's read verse 1 of chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and his seven lamps thereof, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other on the left side thereof. And the angel seemed like he couldn't wait any longer. I think it's good that, you know, imagine this vision kind of left Zechariah weak and he needed some rest. But there come a time when he couldn't wait any longer. And the angel gave him a good shaking. And there was something now really important that he wanted him to know. Just how much of Christ can a person see and understand? Daniel 10, verses 9 and 10, gets us another thought along this line. Yet hear I the voice of his words. And when I heard the words, the voice of his word, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me on my knees and upon the palms of my hand. So Daniel was kind of knocked out there for a while too, wasn't he? And God had to raise him up. Then in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, we see this like the same thing in John. Reading, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. So there come a time of awakening, and he had to see something that he had never seen before. Now, this is not new, though, to the priest. Because the priest always had to go into the holy place and keep oil upon the candlestick. This was a daily job. But in verse 2, the Lord wanted him to see a different kind of candlestick. Or let's call it a lampstand would be a better rendering of this. This one here is all of gold with a bowl on the top of it and seven lamps thereof. And seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, with two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and one on the left side. So there's only one bowl here. Instead of several bowls, there's just one bowl and two olive trees growing right by the side of this bowl. And the olive oil was a continuous flowing. The priest didn't have to go in every day and renew the oil. It was a continuous flow directly from the tree. And Zechariah, after he saw them, he didn't know what they meant. So they needed to be explained to him, but he never told it in its fullness. I would like for us to stop and just kind of close our eyes maybe and kind of draw a mental picture of what we see here. There's one lamp, one lampstand, a solid gold, and a bowl on the very top of it. And from this bowl, there were seven pipes going to the lamps. Then we see the two olive trees, one on each side of the lampstand. And these olive trees are giving their oil to into the bowl, down the pipes, into the lamps to keep them lit at all times. So Zechariah looks at this and says, What are these, my Lord? And although the church is called the lamp, stand in Revelation 1, 12 and 13. We're called lampstands. And also in Ephesians 5, 8, we're called children of the light. We're sometimes in darkness, but ye are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. But this isn't what we're talking about in our viewing this lampstand here. We're not talking about the church. We're seeing a time after the church has been caught up to glory. They're all gone. And this now is what Israel will be doing during Christ's reign on the earth. This has always being God's desire for them to be to light the way to the Gentiles and to be the light. We read in Isaiah 60, verses 2 and 3, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." How much light will Israel have when they know Jesus as their Savior? But their light will be a continuous burning. It'll never go out because Jesus will always be there. He'll never part from them. Let's read verses 6 through 10 now. "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it." Now let's read a few more here, I think, on down through 10. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall say, The plummet in the hand. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts shall have sent me unto you. For who has despised the small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hands of Zerubbabel, and with these seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." What does this mean to us? The word of the Lord that lightens the way of the Jewish leaders as they do the work and the will of their God. Zerubbabel was used of God as a spiritual leader, and the end follow his word. Any strength or power will not be on their own, but that which the Holy Spirit enables them to do everything. In verse 7, we read that Jehovah speaks to the nations that they would try to hinder the moving on Israel. He calls them mountains. His mountains speak of nations, but they are before him. But God will flatten them down like a plain. There'll be no resistance. These nations won't be any resistance to Israel as they renew the temple. The temple shall be built, and a cornerstone will be laid. Christ is that spiritual cornerstone that we've read before, and his spiritual temple. And when this is done, the shouting and rejoicing and crying out to acknowledge that it is all of God's grace and mercy that he's poured out upon Israel. And the nations will see it, and that Satan will be defeated at that time. Verses 8 and 9, "Just as sure as God began a work by the hand of Zerubbabel, he will also finish it with the same hand." Now, let's look at the type here. As a type of the master builder as well as a cornerstone. You can count this true in your life also, as we read in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful. He shall establish you and keep you from evil." We have a temple being built in us, and God will keep us going on. Verse 10, "To some of the older people that remembered the first temple, it was but a small thing." Now we'll read this in Ezra 3:12, "But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men, and they had seen the first house, they saw the first temple. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a great loud voice, and many shouted loud for joy." So we had a kind of twofold emotion. Some wept because it was such a small temple, couldn't even be compared with Solomon's, and yet shouted, some shouted with a great voice because they had a temple at all. So it was a, God always does things in a small way, and who can despise God's small things? We can't. Don't look for big things in our life. God does things in a small way. The manna was a small round thing, we read. Just a small round thing, as small as a hoar frost on the ground. But he fed all that multitude with it, didn't he? Jesus fed a multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Can we despise the small things? No, we can't. In Deuteronomy 32:2-3, he says, "My doctrine shall drop as a rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, but the small rain upon the tender herbs, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish my name," publish the name, rather, "of the Lord," and publish, subscribe of greatness unto the Lord. Now, there's so many verses that we could read, and I jotted down some here, and I'll want to let you read them. 1 Kings 19:11-13, and with that also read Deuteronomy 7:7-8. How much he loved them. He set his love upon them, not because they were big in numbers, but because he just loved them. Love is spontaneous. Love is never because. And you just wait until you see the tools in the hands of God's builders, and all will rejoice. There'll be another temple yet to be built, not by the hands of man, but by the hands of the Almighty, by the hands of the high priest, by the hands of the ones that he has chosen, the Lord Jesus. This will be the last temple that will ever be built. The eyes of the Lord, we read here, refer back to Zechariah 3:9, which says, "Behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone will I shall 7 eyes, and I will engrave the graven thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day." Now these eyes, 7 is a number of completeness, and these eyes that we see here are the fullness of what God sees as his purpose and his will is being performed. He sees all, he knows all, nothing escapes him, he knows it all. And so it's in verse, going back to our lesson now, in verse 11, let's go ahead and read the chapter. "Then said I say unto him, what are these 2 olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again, and he said, what be these 2 olive branches which through the 2 golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves," or out by themselves was a good another rendering of that. "And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the 2 anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." What are these? We get to in these 2 olive trees, and we read without doubt who they represent. And again, we have the 2 leaders who represent the twofold office of our Lord as a king and priest, and as both national and spiritual ruler. He's going to be it all. He's going to be all of it. The Lord Jesus always had leaders to represent him on the earth. He'd never been without them, and always will he have them. They are so full of the Holy Spirit that it overflows into the lives of those that are bearing light in this dark world. Verse 12 gives this information that the oil from the branch flows through the golden pipes into the lamp. Now this is called golden oil or holy oil. Gold always speaks of deity in the scriptures. This is deity oil. Therefore, the oil is pure and called golden oil. This will produce a pure and holy light for all the nations to see. In verse 13, they are called 2 anointed ones. Now, we see them in Revelation 11, verses 3 through 6, and they're called my two witnesses. And they'll prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And then in verse 4, notice Revelation 11, 4, it says, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the Lord of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and so forth. These have power to shut up the heavens, we read, and it rained not in the days of their prophecy. Now these two witnesses will be like Joshua and Zerubbabel. As far as being anointed of God's Spirit, they will flow out to others. Their work will be rejected in the end time, but God's going to make his work known. These will be used of God to preach Christ and bring light into the world as it never been in dark before. They also will have power to shut up the heavens, like Elijah had power. Now, there's people who believe that this was literally the resurrection, or maybe they might even hint that it's a reincarnation of Moses and Elijah. God will bring them back to earth. And they take their thought out of Malachi 4:5. He says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. But the truth is, the same spirit of Elijah will be upon these men, but not Elijah himself. This won't be him at all. And you say, prove this, that this won't be Elijah and Moses. Well, if we go to Matthew 17, let's turn our Bibles to that as we finish this chapter. Matthew 17, I'm going to read the first four verses. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and John, and James and John, his brother, bringeth them to a high mountain, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto them, Lord, it is good that for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Now let's drop down to verse 13 of that. And here's our answer. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes, that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come, and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already. Oh, did Elijah come back again in person? Well, he come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer unto them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Was John the Baptist Elijah? Well, let's go to John 1:21 and find out whether John the Baptist was a reincarnation of Elijah. And John said, no. Said, are you Elijah? He said, no, I'm not Elijah. And they asked him, what then art thou, Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he said, no. Now, was he or wasn't he? Jesus says he was, and he said, no, I'm not. He was just the spirit of Elijah, not Elijah himself. And neither will the two witnesses be literally Moses and Elijah, although they'll perform some of the same powers that Moses and Elijah performed. But John the Baptist was a fulfillment of Malachi 4:5. He fulfilled this himself. And he would have been the fullness of that if the Jews had received his testimony concerning the Christ. But his anointed words were rejected, and Jesus was rejected and crucified, and therefore there will be another forerunner of Christ in the end time called the two witnesses.